Sunya Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Naranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Naranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachai. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya, Jaya, Prabhupada.
Namo Shivaya, Namo Shivaya, Paracharya, Sattva, Sasamit, Ishi Bhaktivanta, Swami Srila Prabhupada ki, Antigodi Vaishnavrinda ki. All grace assembled devotees. All grace of Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. In from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, Verse 20. Netad batadi shapadam tavepsitam yan mayaya nastanushe bhutak shukshmam. anugrahayastu api arhi mayaya. Lasattu lasya bhagavan vilakshita. Naitad batadi shapadam tavepsitam. Yan maya yanas tanushe bhutasukshamam. Anugrahayastu api arhi mayaya. Lasattu lasya bhagavan vilakshita. Naitad batadi sapadam tavepsitam. Yan maya yanas tanushe bhutasukshamam. Anugrahasyastva piyar himayaya. Lasattu lasya bhagavan vilakshita. Please chant. Naitat patadisha. Mahayana sanase vishnukshmam. Anugrahaya satapiya himayaya. Lasattu lasya bhagavan vilakshita. Lasattu lasya manushita. Lasattu lasya bhagavan vilakshita. Naitad batadi shapadam tavepsita. Yan maya yanas tanuse bhutakshumam. Anugrahayastu api arhi mayaya. Lasattu lasya bhagavan vilakshita. Naitad batadi shapadam tavishitam. Yan maya yana tanushe bhutasukshmam. Anugrahaya swapi arhi mayaya. Lasattu lasya bhagavan vilakshita. Anyone else? All right. No. Not. Etat, this. Bata, indeed. Adisha, O Lord. Padam, material world. Tava, your. Ipshitam, desire. Yat, which. Mayaya, by your external energy. Na, for us. Tanushe, you manifest. Bhuta Sukshmam, the elements, gross and subtle. Anugrahaya, for bestowing mercy. Astu, let it be. Api, also. Yarhi, when. Mayaya, through your causeless mercy. Lasat, splendid. Tulasya, with the wreath of tulsi leaves. Bhagawan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vilakshita, is perceived. Translation: my dear Lord, although it is not your desire, you manifest this creation of gross and subtle elements just for our sensual satisfaction. Let your causeless mercy be upon us, for you have appeared before us in your eternal form, adorned with a splendid wreath of tulsi leaves. Purported by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is clearly stated here that the material world is not created by the personal will of the Supreme Lord. It is created by His external energy because the living entities want to enjoy it. This material world is not created for those who do not want to enjoy sense gratification, who constantly remain in transcendental loving service and who are eternally Krishna conscious. For them, the spiritual world is eternally existing and they enjoy there. Elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that for those who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality Godhead, this material world is useless, because this material world is full of danger at every step. It is not meant for the devotees, but for living entities who want to lord it over the material energy at their own risk. Krishna is so kind that He allows the sense-enjoying living entities a separate world created by Him to enjoy as they like. Yet at the same time, He appears in His personal form. The Lord unwillingly creates this material world, but He descends in His personal form or sends one of His reliable sons or a servant or a reliable author like Vyasadev to give instruction. He Himself also instructs in His speeches of Bhagavad Gita. This propaganda work goes on side by side with the creation to convince the misguided living entities who are rotting in this material world to come back to Him and surrender unto Him. Therefore, the last instruction of Bhagavad Gita is this: give up all your manufactured engagements in the material world and just surrender unto Me. I shall protect you from all sinful reactions. Om Gyanita Mananda Saganam Dhanashalakaya Chakshir Manta Dhanatasma Shri Gaya. So Kardava Muni is here, and Lord Vishnu has appeared in front of him. And he's saying that although it is not your desire, you've created this material world with gross and subtle elements. Kardava Muni is asking for a certain benediction. He's asking for a wife. And he's doing that out of service. You know, he's a yogi. He's done tapasya for a while, and he's going to do more tapasya even after marriage. And he's done it for a while, but he was given an instruction by Lord Brahma that he should help. He need to help with progeny, with helping up with that mission of filling up the universe. So he was given that instruction. So he's did this tapasya, and Lord Vishnu is there, and so he's saying this. It's not because of you, but it's because of us. You know that we want this material world. We want sense gratification, and I just found it so pertinent that this point Prabhupada keeps stressing over and over in the verse, it's in the purport itself, that Krishna did it unwillingly. You know, it's just such a strong word when you do something unwillingly. You really don't really want to do it, but you do it nevertheless. And so I was reflecting on how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's Abhigya Swarat. He's Swarat. He's the Supreme Autocrat. That's Bhaktisiddhanta translates that. And he's autocrat. So he's not bound by anything. He's not, nothing can bind him, well, except for love and devotion, of course. But nothing can physically bind him. And he doesn't have to really do it. He doesn't have to set up this whole system. But he does it. You know, he does it out of love. He does it because the little souls, the little jivas, they want their little, you know, their own little realms. They want to be the supreme personality, the little supreme personality goddess of their own realms, right? And so he does it because, not because he's obliged to, but because there's free will. And that's the foundation of this whole creation, the whole spiritual world and the material world even. This loving relationship, there's nothing really. I mean, that's the first relationship, right? And Chaitanya Charitamrita has explained how Krishna's there and then Radharani is there, you know, it's like initially, like it's just the two of them and they're one and the same, but they're there because there's that deep, intimate, loving relationship. And the whole basis of this entire creation is that foundation is that loving relationship between Radha and Krishna. And so, and then from that, everything else emanates. So that loving relationship, yeah, can't exist. It cannot exist unless there's free will. It has to be free will. And so even though as tiny of a spark, as tiny as a spark we might be, but you know, Krishna still acknowledges that. He still respects that. And if we have that desire that, yeah, we want to do something. Oh, it doesn't, okay, thanks. If we want to do something a bit separate, he says, sure, here it is. And you know, just all he has to do is this glance and everything starts rolling into motion. And then he sets up Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma is there also. In third canto, we see how he comes and he's bewildered. And he's like, where am I? You know, what is my purpose? And then he just, you know, he was started meditating. And then he hears tapa. Yeah, tapa. So he does tapa and starts meditating. And then Lord Vishnu appears. And it's so nicely described in this canto itself that Lord Vishnu comes and... the Sanskrit is sparsha, which means to touch, and then Prabhupada translates it as that he shook his hand, Lord Brahma. Lord Vishnu came and he shook Lord Brahma's hand, says, you know, you can do this. And Lord Brahma says, you know, I'm afraid I'll get proud. And I said, no, just do this as a service. When you do it as a service, you know, you won't get proud, basically. And so, yeah, and that's like the first instance of how in this material world, even though we are here, how can we do things in this world while we're still entangled and we're still going through our own desires and so forth? So little by little, as we start doing whatever it is that we're doing, but with the mood of service, then that it chips away our material consciousness. And then, of course, as Prabhupada points out, Krishna himself comes. And that's the most impressive thing, that Krishna doesn't just like say, okay, well, here's your little world and you can enjoy and suffer over there. No, he himself is there and he himself comes and he sends his representatives, his sons, as Prabhupada says in the purport, his sons, his representatives, and himself, he comes. And he, again, you know, it's like Krishna doesn't really have to do anything, but he's the supreme person, he's the most loving person, so he comes out of love. And you know, he's Atmarama, right? He's fully satisfied, fully satiated in himself. And so he doesn't really need anything beyond him. And nothing's really beyond him anyways. But he still longs for the hearts of these little souls. He still longs to reestablish that relationship with these living entities. So he still hankers for that. He still, you know, yearns for that, even though he doesn't, you know, he's fully satisfied. It's like one of those, you know, one and different things. Like, yeah, he's fully satisfied. But he still longs for his friends to be back in the spiritual world, in the spiritual consciousness. So he comes. And oftentimes, especially in our tradition, in Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, there's so much emphasis on separation. And I was thinking about how Narada Muni, he was meditating when he went traveling because his mother died and he was just a child, and he went traveling and then he was meditating. He got instructions by Paramahansas, and he was meditating. Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu came and he saw him, and then he's got a glimpse, and then, you know, Lord Vishnu was gone. And then all of a sudden he was like, where is he? Where is Krishna? Where is Vishnu? You know, he was hankering. So sometimes, yeah, Krishna gives us that glimpse of Krishna consciousness. He really lets us go deep into Krishna consciousness. And at some point, we're like, oh, it's not the same taste. You know, there's that initial, initial rush, this initial enthusiasm that's there in Krishna consciousness. And for some, you know, it lasts for a while, and then it's like, oh, all right, I want to have that again, you know, that hankering. So Krishna creates sometimes a little bit of separation. And so it's there because Krishna really wants us to hanker. And as we grow in Krishna consciousness, and people see it too in the regular world, you know, life can be very humbling. So for a devotee, when life kind of humbles us, then our main shelter is Krishna. That's the only person we can really turn to and get some real shelter. And so for us, yeah, then we have to do our own inventory, like where do we really take shelter of? When things get really hard, you know, who do we turn to? What do we turn to? And, you know, best is we turn to Krishna. But sometimes Krishna might point out that, oh, see, you don't really turn to me all the time. You might start thinking about, oh, well, if I only had this one thing, if you only had this one person or something, then everything would be perfect. And so that's Krishna's way of chipping at our heart, our material desires, and not just chipping at it, but also making us realize in a very kind, soft, and gradual manner that, listen, you know, I'm your main shelter here. You know, you really should, you know, this is our eternal relationship. Everything else, and actually in those verses that Lord Vishnu tells Brahma, that everything else in the material world is also to be seen in connection with him. It's one of the Chatushlokis, and paraphrasing it, but you know, if we see that, yeah, everything that we have in this material world is also, of course, from Krishna, you know. When we really start having that mentality, when we really start having that deep realization, then, you know, the interesting thing is then Krishna sends more and more, you know. Krishna sends more and more resources because he sees, yeah, here's this devotee of mine, and he sees that everything is coming from me. So no harm here, you know, take more. And the devotee then engages in Krishna's service. So, you know, for a devotee like that, there's no lack of material things, resources that come along. When one really sees that everything is coming from Krishna. And then when things get taken away, then the devotee is like, well, Krishna gave, and then Krishna took. So it's not, you know, it's not as shocking. But yeah, different things happen in our lives, and yeah, Krishna is just pushing us little by little to turn towards him. And ultimately, a devotee has to come to a point where it's kimma kinchana gochara, that it's totally materially exhausted. We are totally materially exhausted. And not that we're despondent, not that we are totally hopeless or something, but we look at things and we think, well, this didn't work, that didn't work, but I know Krishna has a plan. Krishna is there for me, no matter what. That Krishna is very not stubborn, maybe not the right word, but he's very he doesn't just let go so easily. In the Nectar of Instruction, I think in one of the purports, Prabhupada says that yeah, once you take up Krishna consciousness, Krishna will take you back to Godhead. I think he might even say that. Pulls you from the Shika or something, but he drags you. I think he says he drags you back to Godhead. Yeah. So once we take up Krishna consciousness, once we take up shelter of Krishna, even once, you know, there's that famous verse where Lord Ram says, when Vibhishan came, and Lord Ram says, yeah, anyone who comes, yeah, even if they say once I'm taking shelter of you, of Lord Ram, and Krishna, forever he's mine, you know, and forever I'm his. So you know, Krishna is the same way. Yeah. Once you take up Krishna consciousness, Krishna doesn't let go easily at all. Krishna's there for us no matter what. And yeah, in our life, there'll be so many ups and downs and so forth. But yeah, that's his point, Kardamuni is saying that, yeah, it's all this material world is there because we desired it. We desired a place, a realm where we wanted to be our own bosses, where we wanted to have our own business. But everything is Krishna's business. There's nothing that is beyond Krishna's business. So at every step, we're actually serving Krishna. We just don't really know it. You know, there was one philosopher. I was trying to remember his name yesterday. Maybe somebody can remember. But he made this point that, say you were an atheist, and I'm a theist, and I worship God. So the one scenario is that God doesn't exist, right? And so when God doesn't exist, all right, well, you're atheist, you're happy, whatever, you're doing your thing. But I am also happy. I have, you know, and Prabhupada made the same point, actually. At one point, he said the same thing, that he said, even if this, you know, Krishna isn't there, or whatever, but we're happy, so what's the problem? We're happy doing this lifestyle. So he said, okay, so first scenario, God's not there, all right? So you're fine, and I'm fine. I said, but if God is there, then what? You know, I'm good, because I've been worshiping God. Well, I don't know about you, for the atheist. And so, yeah, it's like Krishna set up this realm so that we can turn towards him. So for the atheist, yeah, they might feel like there's no supreme, there's no laws, there's no nothing, there's just maybe some morality or something that you have to follow. And that's all well and good, but the thing is that ultimately they are actually following Krishna's law, you know. Krishna has set up so much structure through Brahma and so forth. Ultimately, everybody is following that. They're just kind of not aware of it. Ultimately, everybody is controlled by the three modes of material nature. And that's another big one, actually. People just don't realize how much they're controlled by the modes, how much they're controlled by this whole Krishna setup. And so for the spirit soul, yeah, the free will is just to turn towards Krishna. And it happens gradually. And I was looking up the six symptoms of surrender. And in the six symptoms of surrender, he just talks about how, you know, one has to take things that are favorable for Krishna consciousness, reject things that are unfavorable, and really firmly believe that Krishna is our protector. You know, Krishna is our guardian, and that Krishna will provide. And as we grow in Krishna consciousness, then yeah, Krishna makes us go through his various phases of life, where we realize that, yeah, Krishna is really the ultimate shelter, and there's nothing else really that we can take shelter of. And yeah, it's described how when a devotee, yeah, for a devotee, there's nothing else but Krishna and his devotees, other devotees, and that's the only shelter. And the amazing thing is that, yeah, when someone is just without God consciousness, oftentimes, normally, there's just always a lot of anxiety. Yeah, that's often a symptom, that always there's anxiety, you know. And because they don't really have a grounding, they don't really have a foundation to something really substantial to, you know, to rely on. And then there's, of course, people might have good family systems, and that is good. But, you know, sometimes that's also taken away, that's gone with time and death and so forth. And then it's hard, and all that creates this a lot of anxiety. And then we see in this world how mental health is just going down and down and down, you know, for people. And so the answer is living a lifestyle of Krishna consciousness. Firstly, living a lifestyle of consciousness, being conscious of our choices, being conscious of what we, you know, what we do in our day, how we spend our day, even what we eat and so forth. Everything just has to be conscious. And then when you become conscious, then better than that is to be God conscious, to be Krishna conscious, to see everything in relation to Krishna, to see in everything how it can be used in Krishna's service. And so, I mean, not that one shouldn't go to a therapist, they should go to a therapist, but on a regular basis, if one does not live a life of God consciousness, then there will be anxiety, there'll be all kinds of anxiety. There's no question about it. You know, there's always wars going on and so forth. Everyone's trying to take somebody, you know, else's land, and it's been going on forever. You know, there was this joke that, well, you know, the kings back in the day, they had more wars because they didn't really have any other source of entertainment. So they had to do something, go and fight wars and win more, and that's the thrill. And so as there, yeah, that's human nature, you know, somehow I have to get more and more, and that's what will satisfy us. But all it does is, unfortunately, increases our anxiety more and more. And of course, then increases anxiety for everybody else. And in the Bhagavatam, we see how the military phalanxes were so many at Krishna's time that Mother Earth was just so anxious. The entire planet was so anxious, and she went to Lord Brahma and she begged, she prayed, and she said, "What can I do? And I'm just so disturbed by all this strife and conflict that's happening everywhere." And these kings who have, you know, these who are really demons have come as kings. They're trying to just, you know, take over and pillage, and they keep fighting and fighting and fighting. And so that's when Krishna appeared. Krishna appeared to just remove all those heavy militaries. And yeah, it's just so amazing. In the Bhagavatam and Mahabharata, Krishna was there supporting the Pandavas. And the Pandavas and Bhishma and Vidura, and they all saw, and Dronacharya, they all could see that Krishna is the Supreme Personality, got it. Even Duryodhana, when Krishna went as a messenger, Krishna went as a messenger to the Kauravas, and he asked them that the Pandavas are Kshatriyas, they have to rule, they have to do administration, that's the Dharma, you know. Dharma, so you can't live without doing something. So that was the Dharma. They just can't live without doing that. So he told them, just give them five villages to the five Pandavas. You know, one village, just five villages. And then Duryodhana was so sharp, and he was so sharp-tongued. He said, I wouldn't even give enough land to for them to drop a pin on. And then of course, Duryodhana then ordered all the guards to arrest Krishna. And then Krishna showed his partial universal form. And even though Dhritarashtra was blind, he could feel it, he could see the partial universal form. He could, but still, in the Mahabharata is described, still, you know, and then Krishna left, of course, but then Dhritarashtra, he just said, what can I do? It must be destiny, it must be providence that this war has to happen. You can stop the war, tell your sons not to do it. But Krishna was very expert. He knew how to remove these armies, and he knew that, yeah, you know, these kings are just so into ruling and, you know, having everything for themselves. You know, he knew how to arrange for these kings to fight amongst themselves and then get rid of those militaries. So in a sense, it's our story also. He knows our heart. He knows in our heart there are so many, these little kings, little desires, all kinds of desires fighting over, and our heart is like Mother Earth, crying to Krishna, crying to Lord Brahma, like, please, you know, what can I do? You know, I have all these material desires, I have all these things, you know, what can I do? And what can a soul really do but make genuine efforts on a daily basis to turn to Krishna? That's the best we can do. When we make these efforts, we make conscious decisions to turn towards Krishna, to pray to Krishna, and remember Krishna at every moment, at every turn, at everything when it goes wrong. What else can we do but we turn to Krishna? And that, but the thing, the beauty is that's the main thing that we have to do, and then Krishna does the rest. Krishna arranges, you know. Especially, I think there is a prayer by Bhaktivinoda Thakur for Nrisingadev, and he says that, yeah, I pray to Nrisingadev to remove these material desires from our hearts. Remove these material desires so that I can pray Radha and Krishna with all my full heart. And so Nrisingadev, yeah, we can pray to Nrisingadev if we go into challenges and we really want for these material desires to really get purified. We pray to Nrisingadev. And Nrisingadev and Krishna, they're so kind. They know how to work it. They know how to work it. And, you know, they showed it at the global scale in Mahabharata. Krishna was able to hit, yeah, except that one time when he picked up the weapon to go towards Bhishma Dev, you know, he didn't even pick up a weapon really in the Mahabharata war, but just, you know, he arranged everything to be done. And so, yeah, and the sad part with Dhritarashtra was that he had a very saintly brother, Vidura, which we also came across earlier in the third canto. But yeah, Vidura, you know, he's on pilgrimage now in the third canto, and he met Uddhava. And Vidura kept giving advice. Vidura kept trying to save the Pandavas when they were kids. He told them about the Lakshagra, the house of Lak. And he told them, you know, it's for you to be burned in there. So he was able to tell them. And he did it through a hint. He didn't just, you know, blurted it out. He had to do it, you know, in a very clandestine manner. You know, tell them that actually, yeah, this house is for your demise. And so they were able to leave. And then, yeah, Vidura was trying to protect the Pandavas this whole time. It's described in the Krishna book also when Krishna sent, who did he send? Akrura, I believe, or no, not it wasn't Akrura. I think it was Akrura, actually. He did send Akrura, right, to go check on Queen Kunti. And when he went there, Queen Kunti asked, you know, has Krishna forgotten us? Queen Kunti said, I'm like a doe, like a fawn in, you know, amongst all these tigers, and just trying to protect my kids. And so Vidura was always there for them, protecting them. And then later he was trying to give advice to Dhritarashtra, like, please, give it up, give your sons good advice, stop Duryodhana from doing this. And so it's described in the third canto how when Vidura was preaching to Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana just got really, really angry, and he told him, you son of a maidservant, Dasi Putra, who are you to tell us? We should just leave you with only your breath. And so Vidura is Ved Vyasa, Vyasadeva's son, and not like Dhritarashtra and Pandu, and is an elevated devotee of Krishna. And also he's the prime minister in the kingdom. And so Duryodhana was just so arrogant. He just said, we should just leave you without any of your powers, without any weapons, without anything. Just have your breath. And so Duryodhana committed this grave offense. So at that time, Vidura, he saw it that, okay, this is Krishna's energy in motion. He didn't blame Duryodhana. He didn't blame anybody. He just saw, okay, this is Krishna's giving me a hint that it's time, So oftentimes, Krishna gives us strong hints in our lives, and sometimes it comes as very strong, strong harsh words from somebody, or strong insults or something, or something really drastic happens in our life, not necessarily from a person, but just the nature of this world, something drastic happens, and then it's like, it's a jolt. And for the living entities, oftentimes that's what's needed sometimes. And sometimes Krishna feels like it's time for a little jolt and wake us up. But Krishna is kind. He does it in such a way so that we turn towards him, And so Vidura just saw, okay, this is acting through Krishna's energy, external and internal energy. And so he said, okay. So he just left. He left his bow and arrow at the doorway, and he just left, and he went on pilgrimage. Because, for him, he already had that realization that there's nothing to this life but to work towards surrendering to Krishna. And so for him, that realization was there, and at that point, he said, okay, this is my hint, this is the point when I just leave and I go on pilgrimage. And he went on pilgrimage, and first he met Uddhava. He was asking for him for instructions, and Uddhava kindly said, well, you're my senior. And so he can't really instructions. So he said, well, you should go to Maitreya, he's nearby. So then he went there. He went and he heard from Maitreya, and that's a big chunk of the third canto where all these conversations are happening. It's Vidura is talking to Maitreya Muni. And so, that's the boon in our spiritual life, that no matter what happens, we can actually rely on Krishna. We can rely on Krishna's instructions. And that's another thing, Krishna's instructions. When Arjuna was going to fight with, Ashwatthama. When he went to go fight with Ashwatthama, the first thing was that, he remembered the instructions from Krishna, and he turned to Krishna, and he prayed to Krishna. He didn't just go and pick up his weapon. When he saw Ashwatthama attacking, he didn't just go pick up weapons and start attacking. He remembered Krishna's instruction. He turned to Krishna and he prayed. And so that's our biggest wealth. Because in this material world, one might be very rich, and they might have resources at one point. But at some point, Krishna might take it away. And Krishna might take everything. It's described that the Goswamis, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they were so rich, they were the prime, he was one of the, Rupa Goswami was the prime minister, the other one was, I can't remember now, the treasurer or something. They had high positions. The Muslim king back then had noticed that these two brothers were really talented, so he actually recruited them. And back then it was like, when the king recruits you, you can't really do much against it, like, all right. So they started doing service under the king. And so they were doing service, but then, they came across, Krishna consciousness, they came across Lord Chaitanya, and they're like, oh, this is it, this is what we have to do. And so they were rich, and they had, it's described that they had, you know, almost swimming pools worth of gold, you know, that's that amount. They had that much amount of gold, and but it was all gone. But then they got the highest wealth, they got Lord Chaitanya's instructions, and that is the highest wealth. So yeah, one might lose some things in due course of time. One might, some things might be given, some things might be taken away, and it's all the ups and downs of this material world. But the biggest wealth that one can have is instructions from the spiritual master, guidance from the spiritual master, and guidance from the other devotees, instructions from other devotees, and so forth. And that's the boon that Krishna sends, right? Krishna sends these representatives. You know, bhakti, one can't just create bhakti, can't just come up out of nowhere. So bhakti, only bhakti can give bhakti. And bhakti is given by somebody who carries bhakti. So yeah, it is our good fortune to have devotees in our lives. It's our good fortune to, you know, to have great devotees who have carried that bhakti. And so when they carry that bhakti, then yeah, we're able to tap into that, you know. It's like a magnet, you know, when it's like a strong magnet, it touches something, you know, it can magnetize the other magnet, the other piece of metal which is totally dull, it makes it also a magnet. So it's like that, yes. And that's the boon of Krishna, that he sends his servants and his sons, as Prabhupada says in the purport. And the thing is, Krishna loves serving his devotees. Krishna loves serving his devotees so much. And so when we serve his devotees, Krishna is even more pleased. And so it's even a higher boon. I remember when I was reading, when Dhruva Maharaj, when he meditated also, he did tapasya, and then Lord Vishnu appeared. One of the very first things he asked, and here's Lord Vishnu, and you know, Lord Vishnu came, and Dhruva Maharaj, he was a kid, and he didn't really know what kind of prayers to say, so Lord Vishnu touched him with his lotus, and he was able to say these prayers. And one of the first things that he asked for was for devotee association, and it always struck me that, yeah, here he is, and Lord Vishnu is in front of him, and you know, Lord Vishnu is right there, and Dhruva Maharaj is asking for association of devotees. And so it always struck to me that, yeah, that is the real wealth, actually, having devotee sangha, having devotee association, the instructions, and so forth. And of course, yeah, these books are worth a lot. they're priceless, these instructions that Prabhupada has given in each and every purport. And yeah, the last thing that Prabhupada says, he says, the last instruction of the Bhagavad Gita is to give up all your manufactured engagements in the material world and just surrender on to me. I shall protect you from all sinful reaction. And Prabhupada made this statement in one of his arrival addresses in Atlanta, I believe. He was making this point that, yeah, Krishna is not easy. He asks for surrender, and he asks for full surrender. You need to be materially exhausted, and then you take shelter of Krishna. Like Arjuna was having a breakdown at the battlefield, and he was there and just didn't know what to do, took shelter of Krishna. So he said Krishna is in that sense, he demanding, you know, he wants full surrender. But then he makes this point, turns and he says, but Lord Chaitanya is very kind. He just says, chant Hare Krishna. He doesn't ask for surrender, not right away at least. He just says, just chant Krishna's names. And so, yeah, for this age, in that sense, it's just such a boon, you know, Kale Doshe Nidhe Rajan Eko Hasti Mahatguna, that there's, in this ocean of faults, of Kali, this ocean of Kali, there's so many faults. Yeah, all you have to do for look for faults is turn on the news channel. You'll see all the faults of this age, so many. And they keep increasing day by day. But there's one benefit, there's one beautiful thing about this age, is the holy name of Krishna. So when you chant, when we really take shelter of Krishna's names, when we do that, then yeah, Krishna comes on Garuda. When one sincerely chants, like the elephant, what's his name? The elephant, Gajendra, right? He was a king in the previous life, became an elephant in the heavenly realms, and he was just struggling. He struggled for a long time with that crocodile in the water. This crocodile attacked him, and it was a really long time. He was struggling, And then finally remembered, you know, prayers. He started saying prayers to Lord Vishnu. And it was instant. Krishna can come in an instant when that longing from our heart is there, then Krishna can appear in an instant. And so, yeah, we see so many instances everywhere. And so, yeah, with Lord Chaitanya also, all we have to do is really just call out. And we say, yes, we have so many material desires, we have so many misgivings, but here I am, I'm praying, I'm begging, you know, please help me, I'm in your shelter. And Krishna comes, Krishna turns to us, and, you know, yeah, when we turn to him, Krishna comes straight to us in a very fast manner. And that's the gift that we can share with everybody also, you know, in this material world. Everybody is, as I mentioned, yeah, everyone's anxious for something or the other. And they're always anxious, but what they're really looking for is Krishna. Deep down, everyone is hankering for Krishna consciousness. And I was thinking about how there's so much research in this world. Actually, I have a guest, Nitai Gauranga Prabhu. He's a PhD in chemistry. He's staying with me for a week. And I asked him, what is your research? What are you doing? And he said, he studied chemistry. So he said, well, there's molecules that are left-handed and right-handed. And so my research is, how is it that they interact differently with all the other molecules? And I was thinking, well, you know, he's a nice devotee. He has to do this. He has to make a living. He's doing it sincerely with all his heart. But I was thinking, and somebody, you know, somehow this research is getting funded. And I was thinking, yeah, people are just trying to explore the atoms and the molecules when you go down, and then they're trying to explore space. But really deep down, what they're trying to do is they're really just trying to understand Krishna. They're just doing it in different ways through understanding these molecules and how the left-handed molecules, right-handed molecules, how they work, and why are they that way. So I just found it, wow, it's so interesting that they do such deep research. There's like PhDs working on it and everything. They really are trying to understand the creation, how this world works. And really what that is they're trying to find Krishna. They're trying to find what's the reality. And even when people go to space, they're going exploring everywhere. But the real exploration is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, actually. The real exploration is within, actually. When we go within and we are able to see, the main thing that we have to find is what is our relationship with Krishna. And so when we are able to give that to people out there, yeah, many of them realize that, yeah. And, you know, some people it takes a little time, some people it's instant. They just realize, they read a book, they hear a lecture, they're like, yep, this is it. Yeah, this is the purpose of human form of life, to serve God, to realize that, you know, who we are. But people are out there looking, but you know, there's so many ways to share Krishna consciousness. And it could just be as simple as prasadam or giving them a book. They touch a book and their life gets changed. And you never know, bombs, they're like bombs, the books, you know. They're like sitting bombs. You never know. One day it might explode. One day they might, you know, something might happen in someone's life, and then they might think, oh, I have this one book that talks about spirituality. It happens often. I hear it so many times. You know, people have books sitting in their shelves for years. And one day they're going through something, and then they pull that book out, and all of a sudden, you know, the interesting thing is, I've heard, like, they get the book, they read it initially, and they might not get it so much, but then, you know, something happens, and they start reading it, and they're like, oh my God, it starts making sense. It starts making so much more sense, right? It happens to us also. It happens to me all the time also, you know. I've read the Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita, and then later I read it again. I'm like, oh, I didn't even notice this was here in this verse in purport. Like, at this point, this is amazing, you know. And the more we hear over and over again, you know, Krishna just reveals himself more and more. And in the first canto also has described how Krishna, it's a sweet will. He appears from his sweet will. It's like the sun rises of its own accord. So similarly, Krishna rises of its own accord in our hearts, like the sun. And this, you know, when the sun arrives, all the darkness leaves. So yeah, Krishna rises in our heart with us from his own accord, you know, and he comes in time at the right time, and he feels like, yes, now the field is ready. Now the weeding is done. The failing of it. You know, when the farmer goes and tills, yeah, the tilling of the land is done. That's Lord Balaram. You know, that's why he has that weapon. He tills the land of our heart. The spiritual master, the instructions of the spiritual master, it makes it ripe so that the seed of bhakti can go in there. So Krishna sees, okay, now it's ready, yeah. And the son of Krishna appears, and all the other little misgivings that are there, all the other little things that just kind of fade away. But yeah, but everybody's waiting, everybody's hankering for it. So yeah, they open the book one day after many years, and then everything just makes sense. And then they start looking for devotees, because Prabhupada, everywhere in his books, he talks about devotee association. Everywhere. I've seen people come join, they're like, yeah, I read the Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada keeps mentioning devotee association. So the first question, where are these devotees? So then they go and search for devotees. So it's amazing how, you know, Prabhupada's books and the words of the acharyas is just so potent. You know, it's potent because it's Krishna's desire, it's Krishna's propaganda. Krishna wants this to happen. So anybody who helps Krishna, then of course it's going to have effect in due course of time, sooner or later. But yeah, all right, that's all the thoughts, comments I had on this verse and purport. Yeah, please, any questions, comments? Yes, bro.
Hare Krishna, thank you. A few things. You know, you said that once we surrender to Krishna, then he never forgets us, but we have to also remember if we perform aparad, offense to devotees sometimes, that the creeper can be, you know, dug out, and we can forget Krishna for lifetimes. So that is one thing that we have to be aware of, even though Krishna is very kind.
Yeah,
and also when we chant Hare Krishna and we take this process, giving up the lower taste for the higher taste, it becomes actually very easy, because we see how pale the pleasure is from these temporary material pleasures compared to the eternal happiness of fulfillment and love of God. And so at that point, the devotee can give up these lower tests easily.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that, like for myself, when I joined, I got a book and it sat on my shelf for many years, and I also read it, and it didn't make any sense, but I liked the pictures in it. But then finally, after years of, you know, being a vegetarian, different things, when I finally went and looked at the book, it started to make sense. And like you said, I was afraid of the devotees. I grew up in Hawaii, and I saw the devotees in the 60s and 70s. I thought they were kind of crazy, you know, jumping around. I didn't want nothing to do with them. But he says, you have to associate with the devotees. I said, really? I have to go meet the devotees now? So, but after a few months, after reading and being convinced, I went to the temple and associated with the devotees, and the rest is history. But so, you know, you exactly spelled out my path in Krishna consciousness. And like you said, many people are like that. So thank you for your class.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you. Thank you for that point. Yeah, yeah. Aparads, they can very, it can be very hard, harsh on our spiritual life. Yeah, we just always have to be careful not to commit offenses and keep track of, you know, our actions, for sure. Yeah, thank you, Bruce. Thanks for that point. Yeah.
Haribol, thank you for a nice class. I find sometimes the most materially educated people, they have the most doubts. Actually, some of them says that they're looking everywhere in the universe for a clue that there is a supreme, but they can find none. For example, like you have 2 trillion galaxies, and they cannot find life on any other place besides Earth. You know, what's a waste of time? You know, so how would you convince them?
How would we convince them? People who are really, really materially advanced are really not thinking straight. Sometimes the answer can be simple, you know. Not every answer has to be super complicated, right? You know, every answer to every question. But oftentimes it's our own complexities that make everything so much more complicated. And it's so simple, isn't it? Like this Krishna and this whole creation is there to serve him and so forth. I don't know. With them, I would start with prasadam. Give them some prasadam first.
make them a little less complicated. Yeah, yeah. I'm betting, yeah, these people, yeah, it reminds me actually of Prabodhananda Saraswati. I think it was him, or Prakashananda Saraswati, it was one of them. That was their technique, right? They would say, oh, sir, you're so learned, you know. Yes, you're so learned. And then finally say, well, just give up all this. So you have to kind of, you know, like, yes, yes, you know so much, you're so great. You got to do it for some time, give them the prasadam also, you know, and be there for them. And one day, hopefully, they'll kind of open up and ask some questions. But yeah, as being a friend to them, you know, because sometimes, yeah, people who are really, like, you know, materially educated and so forth, you know, they think they know everything. They know, you know, they think, you know, I know everything, or, you know, what do these people know, and, yeah, and so forth. So it's like, well, yeah, really, you know, then we have to really act as Vaishnavas and be their friend. And that would be my suggestion. Start with that first, yeah, instead of trying to logically defeat them. doesn't work often with them. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you very much for such a joyful and sweet class. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. I have a couple of points to share. I really, truly believe that Krishna is the topmost teacher, like the best qualified teacher for every single jiva in this material world and everywhere. He has his developmentally appropriate practices for every single one of us. And like my life is total proof of it. And whatever is necessary for me to learn, it just comes my way. Whatever is necessary for me to give up, it happens that I give it up. So he designed it. He designs it with such a masterful abilities. This is absolutely inconceivable, but he does it. And I totally agree with you. I resonated with your class completely, because every single time I was put in a situation to take more and more shelter of Krishna, and he really wants us to give up everything and convince us that he is the only shelter, because he is the only one who resolves all the situations, that all the tough situations that we are put through, that I am put through in this life. So he is definitely the only shelter. And another point I really wanted to make, to share my recent realization, how you were saying that books are like time bomb, and they're on the shelf, and then we read them, and then we're starting to look for devotees. We realize that devotee association is so important. So my realization was, I recently went to Miami, to Miami Ratha Yatra, and I discovered this jewel of a wonderful temple there, which was created by Srila Prabhupada, by his movement, right? And I realized that the greatness of Srila Prabhupada is unfathomable. He not only translated this knowledge for us, he not only wrote all these books for us, by that giving us direction and guidance, theoretical guidance, I might say, right? He created the infrastructure for every single jiva who wakes up and can go there and use it as a portal, as a temple, as a portal to the spiritual world, because it can be practically done. We can read all the books in the world and study them by heart, all the shlokas. But to do things, to apply ourselves, and to do the devotional service in the temple, in the association of devotees who already advanced and practicing for a long time. Mm-hmm. So this it's so kind of him to do that, to create in every town and village, everywhere. Like right now, I'm in part of my life that I travel from temple to temple, from town to town, and they're everywhere temples. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it is a practical place we can apply ourselves and do our sadhana, being inspired. Because when you're away from the temple, from association of devotees, it's hard to maintain this fire of this spark, right? That's why Well, Shishika Maharaj says, find the spark, find the spark, right? And there are all the facilities for those of us who are awake and who really want to, you know, do something with this life, which is worthy. And another point, based on what Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada left us, we just absolutely have to keep spreading it, sharing this love with everybody. Because, as you said, everyone is looking for Krishna. Mm-hmm. And every devotee that I met in my life, long, long life, came to Krishna because of devotees on the street and books. Mm-hmm. Devotees on the street and books. So the books are so important. The Harinama is so important that we just have to go out and preach as much as possible, and having as a base our temple where we can recharge our batteries. So anyways, thank you very much for listening to my slow speech.
Yeah, thank you.
But I just had to share this realization. Yeah. I mean, I lived a very long life trying to be a devotee and knew that about Srila Prabhupada, but to realize with the core of my heart that this infrastructure is there. Mm-hmm. All we need to do is just join devotees and do seva. And in Miami is a wonderful temple. There's so much devotional service to do. Mm-hmm. You can do everything you can and everything you cannot do. They will teach you and they will put you to do service day and night. You just be there. And it's a wonderful atmosphere there. They're very close here. And the place there has huge potential. It is centric to Florida, centric to Central America, to both Americas. It's a very wonderful place there. So maybe we somehow rather could support it and go there or send somebody there from here, from this big community. I don't know, brahmacharis or something like that, mm-hmm. to do Harinama. Like I myself, I'm going in 4 weeks there mm-hmm. again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Thank you for that, those points, Prue. Yeah, especially the point Prabhupada made these portals also, not just knowledge. Oh, Matsuji over there. But yeah, you made these portals, yes. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for the nice class. I appreciate your points. And it was nice hearing also these comments from Ishwari Prabhu. I traveled with her to Miami. It was very nice, wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just wanted to reread this sentence because it's just so impactful for me. In the purport, where Prabhupada says, "This material world is not created for those who do not want to enjoy sense gratification, who constantly remain in transcendental loving service, and who are eternally Krishna conscious." You know, so it's just like a nice reminder, another reminder that this is not the place where I'm going to be happy. And it's just reminding me to be careful about how much I'm doing to just make myself comfortable in this world.
Anything else? All right. Gantashyam, oh, Prue, you have a point?
Well, we don't have much time.
We still have a few minutes.
I'm trying to articulate how to put it in a one question. As you read, Prabhupada says, also the verse says, that Krishna, not on his own volition, desire to create this, mm-hmm. but it seems like conditioned soul forced or kind of a Krishna sanction, like Dushasan disrobing Draupadi was sanctioned by Krishna, but it was not Krishna's desire, but Krishna's desire to sanction the sari, unlimited sari, that was on his own volition. Mm-hmm. So then question may come, where is this desire coming from in the conditioned soul? In our constitutional structure, there is no trace of Maya. Mm-hmm. Three things made us. our function, position, and nature. That's how the Tathastha Jiva, the Jiva soul. So where is this idea coming to enjoy something that if it is not there before? So it's a whole topic. It's not just a 5 minutes. So that's why I didn't want to
wait. Do you have any thoughts on that?
It is another half an hour.
Another half an hour. All right, next class, I guess. But yeah, it's a very good question. Yeah, where did it come from, really?
Who to be blamed?
Yeah, who to be blamed, yeah. I mean, I feel like the summary answer Prabhupada gives is that since Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and we have the minute, we're the minute enjoyer, so there is that. That
cannot be in the spiritual world. You are saying something is lacking there.
That cannot be? What cannot be, sorry?
In the spiritual world, everything is complete.
Complete, yeah.
So if something is lacking, that means it is not spiritual.
Not the spiritual world.
It can be in the marginal or material world. You cannot say that Krishna had a lacking something in the jiva's origin creation. So then we have to come to the other point. Okay, where do we come from? Where this idea came? So it requires some discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a healthy discussion. Yeah, otherwise, why did Prabhupada write so many books? Why 30% of his lecture, according to me, it's all smashing the impersonalism and other concept because of this.
Yeah.
So it's a healthy discussion.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, I guess next time, I guess. All right. Kantashya Bhagavatam ki. Shri Prabhupada ki.